podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, Night Nation. I'm Trey Strelko from the Sons of UCF, joined by Eric Lopez of the Black and Gold Banneret. Welcome into Around the Kingdom. Elo, hello.
Hello, Trace. Coming up on the fastest UCF show around is UCF baseball primed to host a regional. Get on the bandwagon. And is UCF athletics ready, football ready to dominate in a decade from now? We're going to discuss that and much more coming up on the fastest UCF show around the kingdom.
Before we get going with all of that, let us welcome in the third member of our team. He is Adam Eaton from the Sons of UCF. Keeps an eye on the clock, keeps us on our toes. Adam, hello.
Gents, hello. It's a big week. We got a big event coming up. That's right. The Masters, which features John Rahm's caddy, a UCF alum, by the way.
Who knew?
Wow.
Interesting. Thank you, Adam. Knights versus Knots. Spring game is here, Elo. Football spring camp continuing. What has stood out for you so far about this? And then I've got one a little bit different, perhaps.
The fact that there's nothing that's standing out. It's quiet. It's the quietest spring I can ever remember. I didn't even realize this was the spring game. Like, really? Already? Like, wow. Like, I'm used to, like, people bickering about film footage and quarterback battles and this and that. And it's actually been nice. It's been calm. People are not overreacting. And we've heard from a lot of different people during the lead up to this, which has been nice to say. I think it's been nice and peaceful. That's what's has stood out to me, Trace, because obviously we can't see anything in practice. But I actually think it's been very, maybe the best spring in the Gus Malzahn era, dare I say, Trace. What do you think?
A lot of confidence, and you hit on the topic that I wanted to bring up, the availability of a cross-section of players. And on Saturday, had opportunity to speak with Colton Boomer. Honestly, wasn't sure after the way the season tailed off for him in 2023 that they would make him available. And then they do the breakout sessions after the conversation at the podium. And I found him to be very open and candid. He even said that he thought about it and he wanted to be open about some of the struggles that he had speaking with a sports psychologist. And for me, at least, I think that that's a positive thing for him personally, but also that he's open with this because obviously other people go through difficult times and he is brave enough to share that with people. And to me, that's the big takeaway for me this week is how candid he has been about the struggles. You know, this is a guy that got off to a nearly perfect start his freshman year, saved that one 60 plus yard kick, Gus Malzahn, that play that wasn't supposed to happen and it was a miss for him. But other than that, he was perfect. A little bit more struggle. Interesting that he came forward and was so candid about it.
Credit to him for that and being so open and honest. And I think that's one of the things I like about this spring is you get to know guys. And as if you're a fan, you get to hear about this stuff. Now you feel connected. And I think you have a better understanding of what you have. Whereas if you don't showcase what your players are taught, you know, what they're feeling and what they are, it's kind of hard to kind of say, well, who are we? Who is this guy? Why should I connect to this guy? I think it helps connect people with the diehard fans, but also more importantly, the casual fan that maybe is on the fence. Hey, do I want to come and watch a UCF football game or follow this team this fall? Stories like that, I think, get people to root for players. And I think that's who's not going to root for him to do very well, not just this spring, but in the fall. I mean, after being so opened up about, you know, dealing with the stress that comes as a life as a kicker.
Yeah, I applaud him for that and wish him well, not only in Friday's spring game, but going forward.
First, the spring game prime time. Friday, a big time event. Friday night, but it's not streamed, not broadcasted. And some people say, well, I want to be able to see the stream game, especially if you're not in the area. It is not being streamed. Trey, should it be streamed, the spring game?
Elo, baseball's on the road. Softball is on the road. What else is going on? I think when you see that Ohio State is broadcasting its spring game on Fox Network, right? Fox Sports. Come on. Let's get into the 2024s, right? And I think they should be streaming the game.
I don't think any spring football game should be streamed. I think anytime a spring football game is broadcasted, it makes the world a dumber place. It really does. It is one of the most, you don't learn anything from that. Here's an idea. There's plenty
of glorified practice.
It's a glorified play. You're not going to learn anything. You're not going to learn anything. Now, if you want to say it's a PR from a PR standpoint, from a marketing, maybe I'll hear that argument. But you're not going to learn a damn thing in that spring game that you're, you know, that's going to come back and say, you know, I remember in, you know, I'm in September, and I remember back when I watched that spring game. That's when this season turned around. No, they're not going to show you anything. So I would rather, and I think they would rather, that the people that are local go to the event, have a good time, and that's it. I think spring games, in fact, there's been less and less spring games being broadcasted on major cable networks. They're being pushed to SEC Network and ACC Network because they don't draw that big of an audience anymore. Because you have all this information. I think it's a complete waste of time. I understand people want to watch it. My advice, go watch the Masters. Go watch the real UCF sporting events. They're all on ESPN Plus.
I take it you're not going to be there on Friday.
No, I've never been to one, and I never will be. And I can't believe you're going to be there. You're like, you of all people. And you're embracing this. You want to be there.
I also think it should be streamed. I don't think the cost would be so prohibitive. We disagree on that, Elo. I mean,
not if it's going to be at the expense of the budget. I mean, we need
or the expense of the softball budget.
But any budgets in general.
That's
right?
A completely different story. Making news in the last couple of days, our old friend Scott Frost.
Who?
Doing a sit-down interview. Not so revealing, not too much learned, but it begs the question, if you could get him back in some capacity, as has been rumored even maybe last season, an offer of offensive coordinator at UCF, would you bring him back? Could you bring him back?
Usually the second time around is not as good as the first time around. I just don't know if that would work. And I think Scott probably is better off. I mean, he's taking some time off. I know he wants to get back into coaching. I thought it was pretty revealing there. I think he'll eventually get a job, but I don't know if coming back to UCF is the answer to that. I think it creates a lot of the expectations go through the roof. I don't know, man. I don't believe in sequels working out as good as the original there. I mean, I think back to Joe Gibbs, for example, came back a second time with Washington, didn't work out. And what are you going to do? You're going to have him as an offensive coordinator? That's going to create drama right there. People are going to be anticipating, is it going to work or not? I don't know. I don't believe it'll work, but I understand the sentiment.
He has millions of dollars and isn't pressing to get a new job in that regard, right? He doesn't need it to pay bills. But are you surprised that he hasn't gone back into the game in some capacity? That there's some sort of rehab of a reputation, perhaps, you know, even in a TV capacity? Goodness, I'll throw anybody on TV.
Because come on, Trace, you know how much he loved the media, dealing with the media. I mean, my goodness, he wouldn't even do – it was hard to get two segments out of him in his own sports radio show. So, no, I think he's healing as a person. Can I remember? That's his dream job, and it didn't work out. Can you imagine your dream job? I don't think it's as easy as, all right, let me land on the other job. I think there's some healing in there. He's got to decide what is he willing to take as far as the next gig. If it's not a head coaching job, is he willing to be an offensive coordinator? Is he willing to be a mid-major head coach? That's up to him to decide. But I think there's some healing there after not being successful in your dream job, that's what it was at Nebraska. But what are you going to do? Of course, when Scott Frost was the head coach, UCF was undefeated, claimed a national title. And now there's some people that are wondering a question, according to HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Could UCF be a national power, Trace, in 10 years? I don't know why we're going 10 years, but we're going 10 years. 10 years. Are we a dominant team? Are we putting up national title banners that we don't actually have to claim?
It is, as a longtime UCF fan, difficult to envision a day in which UCF is winning a national championship, except that Collie Matrix route. It's hard for me to believe, especially the way the sport is going, the greater divide between these super conferences and the rest. I do think, though, that the Big 12 offers UCF an opportunity, to not only be competitive. We saw competitive play the first year, but I think there's that window there, that opportunity that exists that they can get themselves into the mix in the playoffs. And I think UCF's shown never say never, you know, it's possible. It's just so hard to fathom them.
Well, especially when we don't know, like you mentioned, what the future of the sport's going to look like. I mean, what's the playoff format going to look like? It feels like it's going to be in favor of the SEC and the Big Ten, where they're going to have all the resources. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. And it puts a lot of pressure on UCF to be consistently successful. I think that's the only way to do it. When I mean successful, I'm not talking 9-3, go to Gasper. I'm talking 10-plus wins, maybe try to be a perennial playoff team. I mean, the best example I can give you is in college basketball when Gonzaga, year after year after year, made the Sweet 16. Finally, now that nobody even thinks of them as a mid-major. They think of them as a power. That might be the approach that UCF's going to have to take. But that's hard to pull off in football because football is very non-establishment, as we've discussed in the past. So I don't think a power – now, can they be a top 25 program consistently? Absolutely. But a power, it depends on your definition. I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's tough to imagine, but hey, a lot of things UCF has done has surprised to this point. Time to bring back in Adam. Time for our silly game. What, Adam, do you have on your mind today?
All right, gentlemen, today is going to be a fill in the blank game. So every question will require you to fill in the blank with a word or a phrase. I'll let you decide, obviously, what you want to do. Eric, first question starts with you. Here, fill in this blank for me. The thing I want to learn most at the spring game is blank.
Mr. Anti spring game.
I want to learn who's the backup quarterback. Who is getting reps behind Mr. KJ Jefferson? And I expect Trace to tell us on social media.
Okay, a little pressure there.
Give me some play-by-play, Trace. I want play-by-play from you.
Am I filling in the same blank on this?
Same blank, Trace.
Well, I mentioned him before. I would like to see how Colton Boomer does back on the field at the Bounce House in, as close to a game as we're going to get until the fall. I'd like to see him make a successful kick right off the bat.
All right, Trace, this one goes to you. While the ink is not dry, there are plenty of rumors out there that John Calipari will be going from Kentucky to Arkansas. So here's the fill in the blank, Trace. John Calipari allegedly going to Arkansas makes you feel blank about the possibility of Gus going to Arkansas in the future.
No, it doesn't impact it at all. No difference.
Well, it makes you pause a little bit because apparently the NIL money is going to be through the roof for Calipari, right? But now he has a connection with a booster at Arkansas. The big question is, does Gus have a connection?
The Tyson, right? Chicken guy.
Tyson Alo. Chicken guy. Yes, yeah, I guess you would see why he's making a lot of money. No, I don't. I'm going to say no until Gus makes the playoffs with UCF.
Okay. Next one. News again breaking this weekend, Elo, that CJ Walker has found a new home. So, Elo, CJ Walker transferring to TCU is blank.
Blank. That's a good word. That's a good word to describe it. That's a good word, especially if we got to play him next year. I mean, look, man, obviously he moved on, had an injury-plagued season. You hope for the best for him. But, man, do we got to be in the same conference? Really? Can't pick something else? Actually, I do think blank's going to be the word I'm going to use because obviously I don't want to say the real word. You can come up with your own imagination on that one.
Ithiel Horton-esque. You know he's going off for 20 against UCF next year.
Spoken from a man who's lost a couple of prop bets with former players.
Yeah, Ithiel Horton and Jameel Reynolds. I didn't win either of those prop bets. Just disappointing because I wanted to see him finish a night. And then, of course, this is still dependent, right, on him getting a successful waiver approval.
His career, right? Would you both real quick say his career is a what if at UCF?
Yes.
Very much so. And you've spoken about it before. If he had been healthy last season, how many wins, defensively speaking, right, that he contributed to the team? A couple wins, right? And then you look at that season differently a year ago, you know, 18, 19, you know, with him in the mix. So
yeah, the year with Taylor.
Yeah, I think Hendrick, what if absolutely. Is yeah. the mix. Yeah.
No doubt.
All right, last one. And this is a spoiler alert, a little behind the curtain for the audience here. We are recording this episode on Monday night, and the national championship game has still not tipped off. So here is your question. Trace, I'll start with you. The national championship game tipping off at 9:21 p.m. Eastern is blank.
Blank seems appropriate. I'm a night owl. It doesn't matter to me, but I know a lot of people like UCF Mike are going to be in bed before tip-off. It seems late to bring in that West Coast audience. I think also interesting, I know it's a fill in the blank, but Elo, will this men's game on, what is it, TBS, TNT, outdraw the women's game not on a close. Sunday afternoon not on ABC?
Yeah, I agree with Adam. I'm very concerned about that. I think the women's game is going to draw 18 to 20 million. I think this men's game maybe gets 10 to 15, being on TBS, TNT, and you know, for me, the tip-off with 9, it's like stressful because I got to flip back and forth between the national title game and then Raw after WrestleMania. It's the biggest Raw of the year. And here they are, an hour apart, going head-to-head. That's stressful for me.
And yet you squeeze in a little Around the Kingdom in between.
Loyalty. Not loyalty. You can't say I'm not loyalty, guys. Come on now.
Thank you, Adam. You mentioned earlier, Elo, possibility of UCF being, a power in college football within the next decade. But there's also this talk, and I don't take it lightly, this floating of this Super League concept, even introducing relegation. And you might say it's a pipe dream, but could we have envisioned the type of super conferences that we have now a decade plus or so ago? What do you make of it? And if it were to come to fruition, how do you think UCF shakes out?
Well, I think it depends on how many teams they want to have, right? 70, 80 teams. I think UCF would be in pretty good shape to get in on this. You do realize, Trace, this is all just college football media sucking their thumb because they got nothing better to do, and they are not creative people at all when it comes to come up, hey, maybe I should write a feature.
Is that a slam on me for including it as a topic for 3 minutes on Around the Kingdom?
You come up to your own conclusions. But, no, I just don't think the Super League were there. I just don't. Wait,
imminent?
I don't think imminent. I think maybe a decade from now, maybe eventually we get to Super Leagues. I could see that from a television standpoint, pushing the narrative. Certainly, you're going to want to make the money. But, I just don't buy that we're going to go the soccer route where a team is going to get demoted if they play lousy after a year. Like, I really don't see that happen.
The gall, though, of the people involved in this saying that college football, it's the way to save the game. Save it from what? Save it from the destruction that they have wrought on it, right? Exactly. You talk to average fans, right? You go back to the forming of the SEC. It was supposed to be a card trip and be able to see all those teams in that Southeast region. Who envisioned a day in which Stanford and Miami would be playing a midweek volleyball match? I mean, it's ridiculous. They brought on the problems. Now this is their solution. The whole relegation, though, is interesting because does that mean you have protected schools like, I don't know, Vanderbilt or some others that get grandfathered into these super leagues? Do they have the possibility of being relegated for right. their poor play across the board?
Are you kicking Rutgers out? Are you kicking Vanderbilt out? Like, how's that going to work? And then the other sport. I just think that's pipe dream. I think that's a lot of college football national media just coming up with something to write about because they have to be employed and they're not creative enough to come up with something interesting in March or April.
And it wasn't just a couple of athletic beat reporters talking about this concept, right? There's a little bit more high-level thinking involved with it.
I think high level is being generous to these people. I don't think they're very high level at all in anything, quite frankly. Or they wouldn't be in this position to begin with. It's a mess. It's a mess.
Well, you feel, though, if it came to be, UCF would be in the mix. So yeah. We're all right with it. If it happens.
Yeah, it's a little. Most of the little guys are gone. But I think for now, I mean, yeah, you're better off than the ACC, for example, which might blow up. Anyway, you know, it's been big. You mentioned earlier, women's basketball, NCAA championship game, Iowa, South Carolina. Spoiler, South Carolina beat up on Caitlin Clark and went undefeated. But that brings up an interesting question, Trace. With the popularity of the women's sport in general, big higher interest in TV viewership, etc., What could the growth of this run in the nth postseason with men's basketball in general mean for women's sports as a whole overall?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to imagine that they're going to be able to sustain the audiences that they've had with that Caitlin Clark effect. But you already see the WNBA, in which she'll be drafted, right, is developing an entire marketing campaign about, you know, follow these stars in women's basketball into the WNBA. You know this. You study this. You're involved with softball. Softball ratings continue to grow. We now have that professional league in volleyball that's trying to tap into that. I think the growth curve continues. You see a professional league for women's hockey. I think the smart money is on women's sports as a growth area. Now, does the Caitlin Clark effect help a UCF grow women's basketball? I don't think it materializes like that. And they'll need to find some new stars and some interesting storylines. But they have done that of recent years. And so I think the growth curve is strong for women's sports and women's basketball.
Women's basketball, that's proven. If ESPN has your back, you're going to be fine. True. That's what we can talk about how great Caitlin Clark is. She ain't the first great superstar women's basketball player that's ever existed. The difference is ESPN pushed it. They are pushing the women's tournament. And that's what you're watching. And ESPN has said, when they lost the Big Ten, the rights to the Big Ten conference, that they're pushing the women's sports. That's going to be a big narrative. There are reports, Trace, that ESPN might drop Major League Baseball and opt out of their deal because they don't feel they get enough juice on it, because most baseball fans, you being one of them, watch the local broadcast, not the national. So you might see more women's sports. We've seen them commit to volleyball in the fall on linear. Softball, you're going to see a lot of softball coming up here in linear in the next couple of months. And I think we've seen a ton of that in women's basketball. So I think being on the ESPN umbrella helps the women's sports grow and get that exposure.
And your final prediction, the women's championship game outdraws the men's championship game.
Yeah, I think it'll be about 20 million, Iowa, South Carolina. And I think the men will draw about 14, 15 when you add True TV, TBS, TNT combined. It's just, if this would have been on CBS, I think the men's outdraws it. But the drop from CBS to TBS is significant because not everybody's cutting the cord.
All right, Elo. We will see when the ratings come out. Prop bet time. I got you. Another one. I increased my lead to 13 to 10 over you. It was hits plus runs minus errors. You had Ziska and Chloe Evans. I had Priebesk and Jada Cody. I'll spare you all the math, but I won barely.
Wait a minute. I'm counting the math here. How did you win? I won. Ziska got 7 for me. Chloe got 5, 12.
Oh, you may be right. Maybe I did the math.
Yeah, you miscounted. You're trying to rig this. We got an investigation. I want Adam to investigate this on Around the Kingdom. I cry foul. You miscalculated. I won.
I did miscalculate.
Oh, my
God. That's because I worked on this very late on a Sunday night.
It's rigged.
Going through box scores. No, rigged. Just mistake. Just mistake.
Sure. Oh, mistake. I got you.
This we'll see not Adam a WWE storyline. No rigged. All right. What are we doing this week? My apologies. Well,
hopefully you don't count correctly. Maybe Adam should be the neutral counter. We're going to do what?
Pick I will a go
pitcher?
Pitchers. Combined strikeouts, baseball and a softball pitcher.
Very good.
You pick the first baseball pitcher. I'll pick the first softball pitcher, and we each get one of each.
I will pick Ben Vespe.
Ben Vespe. I'll tell you what. We don't know the health status of Wiley, who left the game Sunday.
Right.
Wiley Hartley. And Dom Castellano came in, career-high 8 Ks.
Yeah.
I kind of want to take him as a wild card, but I'll go with Dom Stagliano.
That's a good pick, too.
This is on the road. At West Virginia. West Virginia just swept Kansas, so going to be a difficult road game for baseball. For softball, you're not going to like this. This is what's going to carry me to victory, Elo. No rigging. Sarah Willis. Sarah Willis, I think, will be strong on the road for the Knights. And the way softball is coming multiple times, the weekend, she'll rack up the strikeouts.
Good pick. I will go Caitlin Cochran. It's become a quiet, good story at UCF to rack up some strikeouts when she either comes in relief or start or both. We'll see. Can we get some correct counting? Recount. I demand a recount.
Yeah, I will recount. Apologies on that, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Adam doesn't have time in this segment to look up three box scores for each team. I don't think you can pull that off.
No, I double-checked my math, but I am wrong. That's all right. Well, let's go over to baseball on the field. Baseball, big series win over Kansas State. They win 2 out of 3. They're moved up to number 17 in the country on D1 softball, D1baseball.com in the latest rankings there. D1 Baseball, last Wednesday, Trey, is projecting UCF to be one of 16 host sites for the NCAA tournament. Have you finally jumped in? You say you've been saying it's too soon. You're buying in, or are you still saying too soon?
I'm buying in more to the pitching, and I like the way Rich Wallace and staff are using the pitching. They still don't generate a lot of offense. We saw a lot of small ball, Jay Bergman-esque small ball over the weekend.
Your new friend.
Yeah, the former longtime head coach of the UCF Knights in attendance Friday to watch Rich Wallace and crew. They need Andrew Sundin to come back. They keep saying day-to-day, week-to-week with a lower leg injury. They need a little more pop in the bats, but I do like the pitching, Elo. And they've got a tough series. Again, West Virginia just swept Kansas. We'll see how the Knights do on the road. I'm coming around. I don't see them hosting. I do see NCAA tournament. And that was important to get 2 out of 3 against Kansas State, or they might have gotten the boot out of the top 25 and welcome back in Kansas State if it had gone the other way. On a high now is UCF softball, stringing together wins. And I'll tell you what, Elo, we talked about it after they got swept by Texas. You know what? Those weren't bad games by the UCF Knights. And, oh, look, Texas knocks off Oklahoma that never loses. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Longhorns. Makes those UCF losses, close losses, competitive losses, not look so bad in that rearview mirror.
No, they're not as bad as people thought. That's what I kept reminding people. Yeah, Texas took 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma in their weekend series there in Austin. But you mentioned UCF sweeping BYU and their former Knight, Matty Bejarano, clutch, winning an extra innings on Saturday. Get finally that sweep, Trace. Remember the first two times against Kansas, Texas Tech? They fall short by a run. They move up to 34 in this latest RPI. They go to host Jacksonville Autism Awareness Game. Very good cause on Wednesday. Then, obviously, on the road against Houston, it's a longtime rival. But, Trace, you realize the only time that UCF baseball and UCF softball both made the NCAA tournament in the same year was 2012. That's what
– Were you on the mic for softball then?
Yes, of course. Where else would it be? I'm old.
Just checking the ears.
But 2012, that's the only time. So these games are all big down the stretch. Baseball's at West Virginia. Go support, watch baseball, softball, not some glorified scrimmage practice.
They're on the road. You can make time for the
on ESPN. Watch on the Plus. Look, here's what I'm going to do. Follow Trace on social media. More importantly, follow Andrew Chirico. Is he going to be at the spring game?
Andrew, we plan to have
Andrew's a bit. Follow Andrew Chirico with his fantastic work. Him, he will give you updates on social media, all you need to know about the spring game while you watch either UCF baseball or softball. That's what I will be doing. Support those teams because we got a chance. Those two could be the first Big 12 NCAA tournament teams in the Big 12 era, Trace.
I like how dismissive of me you are on Twitter. I'll say, but yes, do follow Andrew Chirico as well. Time to bring back in Adam Eaton. Adam, help Eric with the pronunciation of Andrew's name.
I've got that teed up here. Let's start with the top, though. You guys talked about Colton Boomer. Really revealing interview. You can find that on Suns UCF's YouTube channel. He was very vulnerable, very open. A great job by Trace and Matt Mierschel, who kind of teamed up in that conversation. If you haven't seen that, go check that out on the Suns UCF YouTube page. Elo, you talked about spring games. I've got some ammo for you. BYU this year not having a spring game. They're not scheduling one. Minnesota also not having a regular spring game. However, they are having a bit of a glorified practice that's only behind a paywall. You have to be part of their collective to view that. So Minnesota's taken your little your thoughts, Elo, and moved up the ante a little bit. This just in from some folks at ESPN, Elo, 18.7 is the number for the women's basketball final between Iowa and South Carolina. I think those are the prelim numbers, and that does not include the alternate broadcast between Bird and Tarazi. So 18.7, maybe to your point, gets up to that 20 million mark. Super League, according to The Athletic, could be 70 to 80 teams involved in the Super League, which you would think would include a Big 12-laden UCF. I was told there'd be no math, by the way. I have no interest in counting whatever it is you people count here. I was told there'd be no math.
Apparently neither is Trace.
By yourself. And then Elo. It's Andrew Chirico, not Chirico. Although I like Chirico as an option. Not Mike Tirico. It's Andrew Chirico.
Can I call him Antonio Brown's BFF? Does that also count?
Thank you, Adam. One more thing before we go. Central Florida celebrated 407 Day on April 7th. Did you know, Elo, the 407 area code was born back in 1988, all numbers exhausted by 2019, and that gave way to the creation of the 689 area code. I'm a 407 guy. What about you?
I am a 321 guy. That's where you...
A 321 guy.
That's right.
That came around late 90s.
I'm glad you told me that. I had no idea. That's good to know.
Yeah. There you go. Look for new episodes midweek every week. You'll find them on the Sons of UCF YouTube channel. Drops later into the audio feed as well. I want to thank Adam Eaton. Thank you, Eric Lopez. I'm Trace Trilco. Thanks, everyone, for watching this week's Around the Kingdom.
Sports Social Podcast Network.